to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, August 21st of 2019. What a dramatic day in the footy world yesterday. Let's start in the West with Ross Lyon, who spoke about getting that fail phone call from Peter Bell.
Yeah, well, ironically, I'd made an appointment to see Harley Benalla. I sent an email through. I'll be off-site until 10 o'clock, just giving Harley some advice. Utong and Lincoln in Fremantle, funnily enough. But Peter Bell rang and said, mate, you need to get here at 9 o'clock and have a meeting with Dale and Craig. And I thought it was unusual Steve wasn't there, so I thought, well, Steve's in trouble. And then I thought I'd ring my lawyer because I might be in trouble. And I thought it's either one or two of us, so it was two of us.
Not bad for Ross Lyon there. We'll hear more from him in just a second. Meanwhile, Alistair Clarkson yesterday spoke about some advice he received from Jordan Lewis's father right back when he was drafted.
I remember Shane pulling me aside when we were down at Warrnambool and saying to me, listen, if young Geordie ever gives you just give him a good swift kick up the ass.
Not bad from Clarko there. He and Simon Goodwin were at the farewell press conference for Jordan Lewis, who called time on his career. He'll play his last game this weekend. Meanwhile, the build-up continues towards the third Ashes test. Steve Smith has been ruled out. Travis Head, he'll be wearing a stem guard.
I'll probably wear it for the rest of the series, I guess, because the wickets are a bit slower. You get some that do different things and it's probably not as true bounce, so I guess as you've seen, obviously with Steve getting hit, you can sometimes get yourself in tricky positions, so I think it'll become mandatory as well. I think it's become mandatory next year with CA, so I might as well get used to it now and start putting them on.
Plenty to get through in the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, so let's get started.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 o'clock this morning, massive Breakfast Club coming up for you. A lot to get through. Half Whitey and Sherelle are back on your Wednesday morning. We'll chat a bit of boxing off the top with Michael Zarafa, who takes on the Hornet, Jeff Horn, later on next week. It'll be interesting to see how he's gearing up for that bout. The early mail for you before 7 o'clock, and then after 7, Mark Stevens from Channel 7 with all the latest footy news. Isaac Smith from the Hawthorn Football Club ahead of his 200th game. After 8 this morning, Brendan Goddard on that sacking of Ross Lyon. Yesterday, Brad Haddon, assistant coach of the Australian cricket team, will jump on for a chat as they head towards the third test. And then Kelsey Brown from Collingwood. How's that for cruel luck? She did her ACL on the weekend, joining her sister Maddie, who did her ACL at the start of the season. It has been a torrid time in terms of luck for those two young women, though. Kelsey will join us after about 8:15 this morning. Let's start, though, with the main news from yesterday. Ross Lyon and Steve Rosich, the CEO of Fremantle, given their marching orders. Let's have a listen to what Ross Lyon had to say about his departure.
It was just really simple. They made a decision. From there, a lot of it's a moot point. They understood the challenges with injury, that they acknowledged that, but probably weren't prepared. Well, I think Dale and the press have said they weren't prepared to go through next year knowing that they wouldn't extend me even if we were successful. And there was a lot of pressure for the club to bear. And there's a lot of threads that get wrapped into that, so I certainly understand. My whole time I've been unconditionally supported and given every resource, so I certainly really want to thank the club for that. And the Dockers will always hold a special place in my heart. So I just want to make that clear. The Dockers have been unbelievable. You know, I would have liked to have finished next year when we've had our best available. We've beaten six of the top eight. We've been in the finals. We beat Geelong last week with eight of our 16, best 16 out, but that's why I probably don't agree with the decision, but I certainly respect the decision. And for the reasons that there was no way that the club would extend me, I wouldn't have thought beyond 2020. The noise around that was a lot for them, and they wanted some clean air. And I made some big decisions, and as I said, don't agree with it, but I certainly respect it, and I wish them all the best.
Deep down, were you fearful at all of the board's position?
No, but let me put that in context. I've never coached a week where I haven't thought I might lose my job. So I remember speaking to Chris Scott about international rules. I said, even when we won 20 in a row at St Kilda, I was never confident I'd keep my job. That's just the way I think. I've loved the ride. Obviously, you know, what I said is three grand finals. You know, opportunities in three, got smacked in the replay, but I've had great groups and driven. And look, it's something I want to keep. I've been stretched. When I first got the job, Rudd Butters said, senior AFL coaching takes grown men to places they should never go. And at the time, I thought, what are you talking about? But now I understand that. So I just want to keep trying to grow. You know, it's a short ride. We're not here forever. So if I can keep improving, I've got something to offer somewhere. But I need to go gather myself. I've got three young kids that are connected, obviously, particularly in this state. That it's a big connection, football and all their friendship groups. So, you know, they're 13 and below. So they're a little bit rattled at the minute. So I'll wrap some support around them.
Ross Lyon on his departure yesterday spoke quite well away from the Fremantle Football Club. Let's head inside it now with Dale Alcott, the president, making the announcement yesterday.
The board and I personally have the utmost respect for both Steve and Ross and what they have contributed to our football club. However, despite their individual contributions, Fremantle has not made finals for the past 4 years. This isn't acceptable to the board, the players, and most importantly, our supporters. To succeed in addressing the challenges that lie ahead, we need high performance and consistency both on and off field. So we need to change and we need to evolve.
More reaction to come, including Steve Rossich, Brendan Goddard, and Matthew Pavlich a little later on in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the other big news story of yesterday in the footy world, and it was Jordan Lewis officially calling time on his career after this week. Let's hear from the man yesterday who had both Alistair Clarkson and Simon Goodwin by his side.
I suppose the athlete and the mindset of an athlete always expects that they could play on forever and a day, but you do rely on the people around you to... one, indicate that, you know, it might be a good time to go. And certainly, it was probably throughout the year where I was struggling with form early on in the season and then went back and played VFL and really enjoyed that experience, but then came into the side and I was able to be used in a variety of positions that, you know, that Goody needed me in. My body feels amazing. I feel like I could play on another year, but it's just the mindset to attack another pre-season and just the ability to do that over and over again probably got me in the end. These two men beside me are probably the two men, as well as my father, that have really shaped who I am. I mean, it is unique to have both of my senior coaches throughout my career. I've been very fortunate to have just the two, and to have them here with me today on what is a pretty special day for me and my family. I thank the Melbourne Football Club and Hawthorn Football Club for allowing that. But as soon as they said, would you like to have both coaches there? Absolutely. I think I mentioned before that they've both been a huge part of my life and my football career. So, you know, to have both of them speak about you in such a unique sort of way was pleasing.
Let's head to Simon Goodwin now. The Melbourne coach reflecting on Jordan Lewis's influence, not only at the D's, but across his entire career.
When we had the opportunity to bring Jordan to the Melbourne Footy Club, you heard what a great person he was, but it wasn't until he came through the door and you realised the quality of the person, the quality of the family. He was a winner, he was a competitor, and he wanted to come because he wanted to bring leadership and he wanted to continue to win.
Simon Goodwin there speaking yesterday. Just to finish on footy for the time being, let's hear from John Worsfold, who yesterday spoke about the pressure that he's been under recently himself.
I don't really feel any different. No, I've always been confident in the footy club and the direction we're going and the communication I've had with everyone involved at the footy club. Externally, it may appear that there's other things happening, but that's people that have no influence on the footy club making their comments.
To the cricket world now, we'll hear from Justin Langer after the break on The Breakfast Bite, but now to Travis Head, who yesterday addressed the batting lineup and a bit of extra batting depth for the Australians, with Marnus Labuschagne, of course, coming in as that substitute for Steve Smith in last test.
Yeah, obviously Marnus come in, played beautifully. He's been fantastic over here in the county season. Got a lot of hundreds. Wadey got 100 at Edgbaston not long ago. So I think we got guys that are in form. So I think, yeah, I think it showed without, obviously, Steve yesterday that we're able to still get the job done, which is a positive. But we know that we've got all the guys in form, guys that are playing well. So, yeah, if that is the case, come a few days' time, it'd be great to still have him. Hopefully he comes good. But, yeah, I think we've got the batting in the sheds that can do the job.
And what about the short bowling? Of course, Jofra Archer causing a few problems at the conclusion of that second test match at Lord's. Travis Head was asked how the Aussies are going to approach it for the rest of the series.
Yeah, well, they played. Yeah, obviously it was a tactic from both teams throughout this test match. I guess it'd be depending on the wicket as well. You don't know what you're going to get and expect throughout the game. So I guess in moments there will be that tactic will come in. Someone gets in, someone batting a long time, there's a long partnership or the tail. So yeah, it's definitely a plan that both teams are using. It's a plan that both batting teams will be talked about and will have plans to. So yeah, if it comes around again, it's expected, and if not, great. Is what it is, really. You've got to be prepared for it, and I think the guys played it quite well throughout the game. I can't think of a lot of dismissals from it. I think Payne last night, but I think the way that guys went about it was really good. Obviously Steve was quite positive and played it, and some blokes didn't, so each guy will have their own way of going about it, and it's just, yeah, one of those things that we've got is a plan, and we've got to find a way of getting around.
Justin Langer has spoken about this overnight. We will catch up with him after the break on The Breakfast Bite. Now to the FFA Cup. Melbourne City in action tonight. Big game for them and a big game for their new manager, Eric Mombets, who's trying to put his stamp on what is a pretty healthy squad at the moment.
Yes, the squad is healthy. We have no player injured. Except Griffiths, who is in a rehabilitation phase.
They take on Marconi in the FFA Cup later on tonight. Couple of the other fixtures tonight: Brisbane Olympic play Adelaide United, Moreland Zebras play Magpie Crusaders, Edgeworth play the Newcastle Jets, and then there's another four fixtures next week, as we're in the round of 16 at the moment. Let's have a listen to Eric Mombets too. He was asked yesterday at that press conference as to whether there'll be any more transfers or players he might want to get in for Melbourne City.
As all coaches, I want all time to first, to play well in our city style of play, and so we need some specific players. We have also to do this inside salary cap, I'm happy with the player we have. I'm happy with the player we have, and my first role is also to improve our players in our style, and also collective in a collective way, and also in an individual way. So it's important for the new players, because they have to understand our style of play. Sometimes it's not totally different that they have done before, but they have to learn. So for some players it takes more time.
Time to hit the break on RSN 927's Breakfast Bite. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the news in both rugby codes, bit of NFL. We'll hear from Justin Langer and all the rest of your footy news from your Tuesday. It's 5:45.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Probably a couple of days off being fit to be selected. So at the end of the day, it was really a no-brainer. He felt a bit better yesterday, but he's not going to have time enough to tick off everything he needs to do to be ready to play.
Justin Langer speaking overnight regarding the loss of Steve Smith. He was also forced to address the batting depth that looked a little shaky at Lord's, especially in the second innings.
Not unlike England losing James Anderson, actually. He's arguably their best bowler. We're going to lose arguably our best batter for this test match. So it's always a blow, no doubt about that. I mean, you take your best players out, it always has an impact. So we've got to make sure all the other guys, our senior players and our younger players all step up and fill what are almost unfillable shoes because he's the best player in the world. But we've talked the whole time about squad mentality, being ready, and when things come up like they always do in this game.
Justin Langer speaking overnight. Now to the English side of things. Trevor Bayliss here on the loss of Steve Smith.
Well, I suppose if you take out the best batter in the world, yeah, that's probably the case. But as his replacement showed last in the last match, he's more than capable. So, win or lose, the winners of this Ashes, it's not going to get down to necessarily one player.
So Trevor Bayliss and the Poms not counting their chickens with Steve Smith ruled out of this test match. To the NRL world now, we'll start with James Graham. There was some interesting tribunal results last night. Tevita Pinga Jr. was suspended for 5 weeks for a crusher tackle, and the man who used to beat the Bulldogs now at West Tigers, James Graham, a pretty influential voice in the game, had this to say about that on Fox Sports last night.
It does seem excessive. It really does. I know there's loads and stuff, but I mean, like, 5 weeks for that, like, yeah, it seems a bit over the top. And you look at it, it just seems like going to the judiciary is a bit of a lottery this year. And
James Graham speaking last night. There was a coach sacking yesterday in the NRL as well, with Nathan Brown told that he won't be coaching Newcastle beyond this year. Kevin Walters was asked all year about the Gold Coast job, rather. He's now been asked about the vacant job at Newcastle.
Yeah, no, look, I'm very comfortable with my position at the moment with the Queensland Rugby League and also my work on Fox League. I've said that over and over and over and over again across all media channels in the last, 18 months, 12 months. So, yeah, that's my position hasn't changed. And firstly, I feel for Nathan Brown. That's pretty raw today, just being told effectively that you've lost your job. Let's have a bit of respect for Nathan as well. I mean, it's a tough industry, coaching. Everybody, I guess, is aware of that when they put themselves into these positions. But you've got to feel for Nathan. He's jobless now, so that's disappointing. I would have thought maybe the end of the season might have been a good time to make that decision, and whether or not they make the 8 and how far they can go, because the talent there at Newcastle, if they can get into the 8, I'm sure they can make some big inroads into September, that's for sure.
Kevin Walters speaking last night. Let's finish rugby league with Ryan Hinchcliffe. He's an assistant coach at the Storm, who've come under plenty of criticism this week about their tackling technique.
We're really confident with what we do down here and the way we go about it. Obviously there's been a fair bit of scrutiny going on outside, but we know within these four walls that we certainly, everything that we train and practice is within the rules. And, we go out and execute it training and then in games. And, when it's outside the rules, I'm sure we'll find out about it. Yeah, I think you'll see that he's actually got hold of his jersey in that tackle. So, it's a contact sport, isn't it? There's 300-odd contests or tackles in a game. So I think you can see there that he's got hold of his jersey. He's trying to hold him on the ground. And, his hands end up around his face. But you have a look across all the games on the weekend, I'm sure you could find, 20 or 30 or 40 of those types of tackles where our hands end up around that area. So, like I said, for us, we know what we practice, we know what we train for. It's not a huge deal for us. We move on.
So rugby union now. Michael Checker was speaking yesterday about one man he hopes might give him a phone call in the next 24 hours to get on a plane back to Australia to be a part of the World Cup squad.
It's not a rumour. Like, we've been trying to get Willie to come home, and not just to compete in this World Cup, but also then to play in Super Rugby after that, because we want our best Australian players playing here. You guys have got Super Rugby. It's on every weekend, and we want the best players that are to be playing in that tournament. And that's where Rugby Australia's made some. They've got a good set of rules, I think, that give opportunity to players that want to come home to have a bit of the best of both worlds. I think a couple of our players this year have taken advantage of that and then commit to the game long term, which is what we want. So, but if he But so you get pit scene, so if he wants to come home, he needs to get on the phone pretty quick. I haven't got a watch on, but I'm looking at my wrist anyway. So, look, he's obviously had a great season. We've coached him here. I've coached him here at the Tars, and he was selected in the last World Cup team, so he knows what it's about.
Michael Checker there on Will Skelton. Will we see him at the World Cup? He's a massive man. To the NFL now. Mitch Wisnowski yesterday with a nice highlight for San Francisco. Don't normally see punters do this.
Jackson's going to take this out of the end zone. And he's taken down by Mitch Wisnowski, the kickoff specialist, as a flag is down. The rookie punter and kickoff specialist with a special teams tackle. By the way, he's 6'2", 220, and 27-year-old rookie.
They're in return. Down.
That's what happens when you're a former Aussie Rules football player.
Aussie Rules. Well done by Mitch there in a massive hit. You'll have to check that one out on social media this morning. Let's finish with the rest of the footy news from yesterday. We'll start with the future for Ross Lyon and what it looks like. Should he go back to the Saints? Brendan Goddard was asked that yesterday on Fox Sports.
Oh, there's no doubt. He's clearly, of all the now uncontracted coaches, is the most experienced, in my opinion, and obviously I've only experienced a number of the coaches out there, or had a number of coaches, and not some that aren't available, but he's the best coach. But saying that, he's got to find a fit that's best for him. So whether that is a young, developing list in St Kilda, or there may be other opportunities come the end of the year with potentially what happens with other coaches and other teams. But I think it's important now for Ross to, if he was to go back into coaching, is to find the right fit for him. So St Kilda, in my opinion, should definitely look at it, but whether that's the best fit for him, only they know, or Ross knows himself.
To Matthew Pavlich, speaking on Fox as well, on Ross Lyon's future.
I've only got great things to say about Ross Lyon and his coaching. I played my best footy under Ross. He presided over the most successful era at Fremantle that I had, and as captain of the club. I played in four consecutive final series, the grand final, with him. He was a ruthless perfectionist, Ross, a brilliant tactician. He had great empathy. He always empowered his leaders. So I've only got good things to say about him. I've been out of the club for 3 years now. It's an incredibly bold move. Ross entered the club under controversial circumstances back in 2011, and he leaves today under similar controversy.
To Steve Rossich now yesterday, who also departed ways with Fremantle. He's the former CEO of the Dockers.
I've been working closely with our board over the past few months to firm up our strategic and operational plans for 2020 and beyond, to build upon the strong foundations that the club has in place both on and off the field. Given that we cannot agree on some of the key directions for the club, we have reached a mutual agreement for me to step down as Chief Executive Officer.
Let's get to the rest of the footy news yesterday, because there was a bit happening. We'll start with Tom Bell Chambers. Will he play this week? Here's coach John Worsfold.
T-Bell is a chance to be available for this week's game. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so, train well today, or what's the sort of...
I'm pretty sure he's doing main training today, and we'll assess him after that. I'm expecting he's available to play footy this week. Yeah.
That could be VFL.
Could be, yeah. I wouldn't say our most important, but he has been a key part of some of our best footy throughout the last couple of seasons. He's been in really good form for us. So we would love to have him back in the team when he's ready to go.
To Dane Zorko now. He spoke about the Lions' poor record at the MCG. They play on Sunday there against the Tigers.
But I guess we just don't play there enough to, sort of get a grip on it. But, it's another a challenge for us this week, and we have played some really good football there, even though we've lost a couple of times. So we're not reading too much into it. We've been able to travel really well this year, and this weekend, we'll go out and set ourselves and stick to our process.
And let's finish with the Dogs. Eastern Wood here expecting to face a fired-up Adelaide in a very chilly Ballarat.
Well, their season's on the line, just like ours, so I'm expecting them to bring everything. They're under pressure. And, we're under pressure to solidify our spot in the finals. So I'm expecting everything from both teams. I think that anything can happen. Mindset's been consistent amongst the group for for a long time. What that tells us is that our best is good enough to beat anyone. And as you mentioned before, the anything is possible mindset of we bring our best and it'll take care of itself. And so that's our challenge, just to get as close as we can to our best and bring everything we've got and the rest will take care of itself.
There we go. Yesterday, Easton Wood speaking ahead of the crunch game for the Western Bulldogs in round 23. Stick around on RSN 927 after the 6 o'clock news. Half Whitey and Sherelle return with the Breakfast Club. Lots to come as well. Brendan Goddard, Brad Haddon, Kelsey Brown, Isaac Smith, Mark Stevens. We've got the early mail before 7 and boxer Michael Zarafa as well. There is a lot to get through. It's a very busy Wednesday. Make sure you don't switch that dial all morning. Of course, from 8:30.